direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
The time is right, well, for something a lot better than trivia this week. Oh, it's been one of those weeks all the way around. And, in fact, yesterday John said, well, you'll feel better when you're talking to Marianne. That's actually probably true. Because one of my favorite people in the world, Marianne Winkowski. And you can go to MarianneWinkowski.com, get all the information on her website. Oh, I'm sure we'll go over most of it. But Marianne, in addition to an infectious personality and just being an all-around wonderful person, sees dead people. And not those who have crossed over to the other side and made it over the Rainbow Bridge or wherever those people go. Those who are still here, earthbound spirits. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Indeed, I hope. So, Marianne, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good, good. Yes, literally, John said to me yesterday, it was just one of those days, and he said, you'll feel better when you talk to Marianne. I said, I'm sure that's right. So... it is great to talk to you as always, and of course I've got so much on my mind because, you know, in our previous conversations, things will come up, and then later I'll be thinking about them, kind of saying, now, what the? And one of my favorite stories is you talking to people who couldn't speak English.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that I could even do that. I had, a lady had called me up, and... she was the caregiver for her mother, and one of those instances where the hospital bed's in the living room and, you know, all of that. And so her and her mother had a terrible fight. I mean, they were just arguing, I think tired, not feeling good. And so she said to her mom, just don't try to get out of bed. I'm going to go take a walk around the block. I want to cool off. Just, you know, just sit here and be quiet. Well, she was gone about 15 minutes, and when she came back, her mother had died.
Oh my! You know, that's got to be the worst nightmare in the world.
That's right.
I mean,
I
can't imagine.
However, as a side note, I'm sure you'll find a lot of people, a lot of your listeners that know that they sat the death watch at the hospital or the nursing home or hospice, and the nurse says, gee, it looks like she's going to be okay for a couple hours. If you want to go home and take a shower or something, the minute they leave, they die.
Oh,
some
yeah.
People do not want to die around anybody. They want to do it on their own.
Oh, no, that of course. So, but the idea that you've had fighting words, you know, and then, oh, man.
Well, and this was it. This bothered her a lot because they were really close. But like I said, it's stress, tension, that's terrible in a family.
Sure.
So she called me up. She says, and she explained to me what had happened. She says, do you think my mother's here? I says, well, there is a lady there. I said, she's got shorter hair. I said, it's like salt and pepper, brown and white. I said, she says, what does she have on? I said, this pink thing, like pink ruffly thing. She goes, yep, that's what she was buried in. So her mother had not crossed over.
Wow.
And she says, can you come out? And I said, sure. So I go out there. And I have to tell you, I got a kick out of it. This lady picked up the argument right where they left off.
Oh, no, that's great.
She's arguing with her daughter, and I'm going, oh, holy cow. As I'm, you know, telling the daughter what she said, she says, she is so stubborn, that is not right. She's wrong. And I said... okay, so they finally got it all worked out, and everything was fine, and they said the I love yous, and I made the white light, and I watched Mom go into the light, and the daughter's crying, and she says, how lucky was I to find you that you speak Ukrainian? And I looked at her, I said, excuse me? She said, you speak Ukrainian. I said, no, I do not. And she says, my mother didn't speak a word of English. And I heard her in English. In my mind, it was definitely English. And I have found out since then that as long as I do it the way I do it, not speaking out loud, just hearing it in my mind, language is not an issue. I could tell exactly what they're saying. Now, the crazy part is if I'm in another country or if I'm in a situation where there's a big ethnic group and I'm, you know, they're all speaking, say, Polish, and the ghost starts knowing that I don't speak Polish, tries to speak to me in English, I have a harder time understanding their broken English than I do if they would just speak Polish.
You know, I cannot.
I don't know why.
I understand this on some level, and the first thing I thought of, like I say, it comes to me in waves, and I couldn't get over it when you told me. And later I thought, my God, well, that's how people can communicate with pets, that words somehow translate in our brain into a language we understand.
That's exactly right. And if you've had animals that you're especially close to, no words are necessary. We've had show dogs. Dogs are a whole life. And, boy, you just look at the they know exactly what you're thinking and exactly what you want. It's amazing, especially if it's a, you know, dog that you're really close to or a cat that you're really close to. And, you know, and the older they get, the more they understand.
Oh, I'm sure that's right. Absolutely. That is fascinating to me because that, you know, that brings in all the things that animals probably are able to, quote unquote, talk to other animals. We as humans are so limited by the type of language and how we speak it. And most people don't grasp the unspoken word.
No. And the thing of it is, we rely so much just on the talking part.
Yeah.
Where animals use all of their senses to communicate.
Exactly.
And humans don't do that.
They're probably very frustrated with us that we don't get them.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, it's just cohabiting with other creatures other than another human. But people do that. I mean, and it's just, I mean, people are very close to horses, anything. I know when we lived in farm country, some of these people were so close to their cows. And it's amazing, believe it or not, cows have personalities.
Oh, of course they do.
If I hadn't seen the one playing ball with the 4-H girl, I wouldn't have believed that. Who would have thought a cow could play with a ball? But they did.
Well, you know, I think the fact that we eat them, we don't like to think they have personalities, but I would assume that they can be just as great a large pet as any other, you know, animal.
Yeah, probably. Like I said, I don't think there's probably anything that can't be domesticated to a certain point anyway.
Yeah, that's just
fascinating
all the way around. Now, you are called out to do the darndest things. And since we last talked, has anything occurred where you're saying, oh, man, I got to tell them about this one?
Well, there is one interesting one. Something that happened this past summer that Grandma started taking me to funerals when I was 4 years old. So I've been really doing this a long time. I'm over 70 now. So, I mean, when I say 60-some years, I'm certainly not exaggerating.
Yeah.
So I get a call from a man, and the message, my answering machine picked up, and when I listened to my messages, this man's message, what it was, I think my mother has died, and I don't think she crossed over because I couldn't give her the kind of funeral that she wanted. And I think she's here. Can you help me? Now, what did that take, 20 seconds for me to say?
Uh-huh.
Well, he ran my tape out because he had a speech impediment.
Oh, geez.
And every word was like this.
Oh, no.
It was, oh, my gosh. It was like, okay, get it. So I called the man back, and I said, there is a lady there. I said, behind you, I says, you're on the phone sitting at the table. I said, she's standing behind you by the refrigerator. I said, and years ago, do you remember the green, forest green velour jump, like the pants with the zip jacket? It's like when all the casual clothes came out. That was a real popular thing that came out.
Yeah.
That's what she had on. And he says, well, that's what she died in.
Oh, no.
I says, oh, okay. I says, well, then obviously your mom is there. And he said, well, can you come out and, you know, get rid of her? And I said, and he didn't exactly say it.
Yeah, right.
It was like, he knew she was there, and it was bothering him more that she wasn't where she needed to be. Plus, I don't think I think he felt like she was snooping on him all the time.
Well, I'm sure she
Which
was.
I think she was.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, about 3 weeks later, we go down. It was in southern Ohio, so we drove down there, and it was one of those houses that people call a shotgun house. You stood out the front porch, old house, probably built in the 30s, stand at the front porch. It was a screen door, and it wasn't a modern metal door. It was one of those old-fashioned wooden screen doors with the bar diagonally across the screen. I mean, it was on a porch, and when I knocked on the door, I could see the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, and the back door. You could see straight through the house.
Right.
So he asked me to come in. And my husband went and sat in the living room because Ted never sits with me when I talk to a client, even though he goes with me.
Right.
And I sat down at the dining room table, and so he said, is she here? And I looked at her, and I said, your mom? And she said, yes. And I said to him, yes, your mom is here. And she says to me, I'm here.
Oh, no.
And I looked at her, and I says, I see you. I know you're here. And she said it again. She goes, I'm here. I said, I see you. Let me talk to your son first and get some information, and then we'll, you know, take care of you. She said, okay. And that lasted 27 seconds, and she's screaming, I'm here. I'm here. And she's getting louder and louder every time she said that. And then she started pointing to the ceiling. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, what is she doing? And then it dawned on me.
That she was there? And, oh, no.
Yep. And I said, your body is upstairs? She said, yes. And then I said, did he kill you?
Oh,
because
God.
If that had been a yes answer, I would have been out of there so fast.
Yes.
And she said, no, he did not kill me. And I said, okay. She says, but he is spending my Social Security check.
That's why he's not buried.
I said, okay. So we talk, and, you know, and so he got the information. I said, you know, I said, she's not really worried about the size of the funeral, but I said, you know, she just wants to go to the white light now, so I'm going to make the light. She is going to cross over. And she looked at me. She goes, are you going to get rid of my body for me? I said, nope, I am not, but I will find somebody to do it.
Right.
Not me. And so she said, okay. And he said to me, are you going to put those, and he called them grape seeds. Instead of quince seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not correct him. And I said, yes. I said, Ted will go around. I said, the front door we came in and the back door. He said, yes. And I said, do you have any doors that are down in the cellar that go out? And he said, no. And a lot of times these old houses have, I call them the Wizard of Oz doors in the basement that,
yeah,
you know, are slanted.
Sure.
And he said, no. And I said, okay. And there was no fireplaces, so we were good on that. And then he just looks at me and he goes, oh, there's a little porch off my mother's bedroom. And I'm thinking, oh.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been used and called in by a lot of different law enforcement agencies, and I'd been around bodies that had been out for a while, and I was shocked because I thinking she was dead like 7 months.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't smell anything.
No, it goes away after a while.
Yeah, throw me. But there was nothing lingering even.
Yeah, right.
So I said, you know, okay, we'll take care of it. So I told, you know, called my husband in, and I says, hon, there's that door that we came in. I says, there's the back door. I says, nothing downstairs, no fireplaces. I said, but there is a door upstairs off of a bedroom up there. And I looked at the man, and I says, Ted will fix the seat up so that you can run upstairs and put it up on the door. And he looked at me a little funny, and I said, oh, Ted had his knee replaced. I says, and stairs are a little hard for him right now. I was not lying.
Right.
Ted did have his knee replaced. It was 3 years prior to that, but that's okay.
Right.
We're not going to have him going upstairs and seeing somebody laying on a bed up there dead. So it, Ted didn't say a word. He just looked at me like, okay, and we got out of there, and we got to the corner of the street. There was a church, and I says, pull in there. He says, what was that about? I said, his mother's body is upstairs on the bed. He went, oh, no. I says, oh, yeah. I said, well, what are we going to do? And I says, and there was a sheriff's department that I had, the county sheriff that I had done some work for, the next county over. So I called that department, and luckily he was there. So I told him, and he started laughing, and I says, I don't think it's funny. And he says, yeah, but I do because it happened to you.
Right.
And he's joking with me. And so I said, all right. I says, please do me a favor. I says, I really want to know why nobody noticed anything. No odor or anything. And he said, okay. About 3 or 4 days later, he called me up. They went in. The body was there. She was pretty well liquefied after 7 months. Black garbage bags and duct tape.
No.
That's what he had her in.
In.
And it, unbelievable. And they didn't. They got him for use for spending and using her Social Security. And the only thing that they got him for was abuse of a corpse. Because he didn't have her body properly disposed of. So that was a little bit unusual. I've never run across that before.
And hopefully never again. But now, abuse of a corpse, if this is an actual law, this is happening more than once. I didn't realize this was a problem.
Well, yeah, but don't forget there's different definitions of abuse.
Oh, yes, but I mean... I got that. I remember reading about a guy in Key West who kept someone alive for years. I don't want to think about it. But, hope that those are so isolated that they don't have actual charges for it, but I guess they do.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, and sometimes there's certain lines of work that they find abuse more common than everyday regular people. So.
Really? What?
But, yeah. It,
what? What lines of work?
How about a funeral director?
Oh, my God, no. Oh, tell me no. Oh, that's a horrible thought.
Well, yeah. I mean, and maybe it's 1 in 10,000.
Yeah.
So it's not something common, but yeah, it does exist. And the only reason I know that is that when I'm invited to these funerals, these people tell me what happened to them.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's so chilling because we don't normally think that that would even be an issue. But as you're saying that, my mind's going crazy. I can see this big time. Oh, no. God.
Well, and plus the fact that when they always have a family member in, you know, when you're at a funeral home and it's the last day before the cemetery, you file past the casket, you go out and you get in your cars to get to the funeral procession. But one family member always stays back because they have to lower the body into the casket and cover them up. And sometimes people are shown with their wedding rings on, but the family wants it back, so before the lid is closed, you know, they'll take the rings and that stuff off and give it to the family. But sometimes people do not watch the final closure like that. And I've already had, you know, a woman told me, she says, they were going to let me take my wedding ring with me, but the funeral director has it.
Now, when you hear that, do you report it?
I do.
Good.
I've got enough connections and enough places that if I call and they don't have to use my name because I'm accurate and, you know,
right,
they know what I do. And so, but no. I've already left houses after and called the Humane Society or geriatrics and reported elder abuse and child abuse and animal abuse and health department to have the place condemned. And I do things like that.
And what's interesting is these are people who are calling you to their house. Do they not understand what it is you do?
You know, I think... this is another good example. There was a company out of Chicago that wanted to come in and come with me to houses. They wanted to try to see if they could find a reality TV show.
Uh-huh.
And so they wanted to know if I could find some houses for them to come so that they can film it. And I said, you know, I said that... not everybody wants everything aired.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they don't want their neighbors to know what was going on in their house. So, but this one particular lady said, oh, yeah, that would be fun. She said, and my son is 16, and he saw the one ghost here, she said. So, yeah, she says, I'll be happy with it. And I says, don't get nothing fancy. I says, there'll be three other people beside myself. One with the camera, one with the mic, and then, you know, the producer. And she said, nope, that's fine. Well, my goodness. Opened the front door when we get there, and she was dressed like it was New Year's Eve. She was all dolled up.
That's
thinking,
great.
Oh, okay then. So we go in the kitchen, and we sit down, and they get everything set up, and we start talking. And I told her, you know, who was there. And she says, well, you know, she says there's something. Now, remember, she called me. I didn't call her. She says, now, I'm really curious about something. She says, I want to know what I had for breakfast this morning. And I just looked at her, and I said, you want me to tell you what you had for breakfast this morning? She said, yeah, I do. I said, Cheerios? And she said, oh, okay, yeah, I did. And I said, with bananas. She said, yes, yes, I did. And I said, okay. So I guess that proved I was legit because how would I know she had Cheerios? Bananas.
How did you know? Was there a ghost telling you?
Well, the ghost told me.
Okay.
Yeah, the ghost told me.
All right.
So, and this ghost, it was like somebody dropped a quarter in her ear. She never shut up. She was talking constantly. And so this woman was divorced. So the teenage son is telling me what he saw and everything, and I says, well, I said, you were on the computer on a site that you weren't even supposed to be on when the computer went down. And he looked at his mother, and she looked at him like, oh, now you're in trouble.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay. So then she said something else, and something else came up, and she brought up her ex-husband. And I'm thinking, oh, this isn't going to be good. And she said, I never understood why, you know, she says men are they're like crazy. I really didn't know why he got so upset with me, and I said, you know, we're talking about ghosts here. I said, you know, we don't need to talk about that. Well, then the woman ghost said, well, if he hadn't caught her in bed with his best friend, he would have divorced her. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. And I said, oh, you know, sometimes if you think about it, you may come up with why.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and I'm thinking, lady, there's a tape rolling here.
Right.
And she said, well, did she tell you why he left? And I just looked at her. I said, do you seriously want me to tell you what she's telling me? And she said, yeah, I really do.
Uh-huh.
And I looked, I said, with your son sitting right next to you? And then it dawned on her. She goes, oh. I said, right. And she said, no, let's not talk about that. And I said, that's a good idea. So we got all through, and we had taken two different cars to this place, and we had made an arrangement where we were going to stop for lunch before we did the next house. So we get to this, we pull in, we got a table, the crew came in right behind us. And they were younger. You know, these people now that do this stuff are, like, in their 20s, early 30s. And they came in and they said, she wanted you to talk about her being caught in bed with somebody?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, pretty much. I said, that's what she was referring to.
Oh, man.
That was, like, it's crazy.
That's great. And it really makes you wonder, what are they really thinking? I mean, she's verified that someone's telling you something. She knows about her Cheerios and bananas, and she'll go there anyway. That's great.
I know. It's like, what didn't... I mean, and some ghosts are really, really... They're not gossipy. They will keep their mouth shut. I mean, you know, a woman ghost might go, well, she does cook a lot packaged food. She doesn't cook much from scratch. Or little comments like that. But there's not a whole lot of them that'll talk about bedroom secrets. Let's put it that way.
Now, it's interesting that you just said she doesn't cook a lot, because that made me flash on your cookbook. And if anybody doesn't know, then go to MarianneWinkowski.com or you can go to Raleigh.net, and I've got links to the cookbook. But, you know, you kind of think about what ghosts are going to tell you, and some of the stories are just poignant and some are funny. But you rarely think that a ghost is going to say, let me give you a recipe. So how did that start happening?
Okay, how that started was, over the years, when I go into somebody's house, I always take with me a notebook and a pen. And so this one lady house that I went to, it was her grandmother that was there, which that in itself is unusual, because 9 times out of 10, the homeowner does not know who the ghost is, because your own relative wouldn't do this to you. So, but this grandma was there. It was over the holidays. It was over, like, between, you know, probably Thanksgiving and Christmas. And she said, now that grandma's here, can you ask her a favor? She says, we don't have the missing ingredient, and she named this cookie. And I knew exactly what she was talking about, because my mother-in-law used to give me recipes and leave out one ingredient. And so there's just some people that they want to keep their recipes to themselves. And so I looked at Grandma and I said, would you tell her what it is? And she said, yeah, I guess now that I'm dead, somebody needs to know. So she gave me the ingredient that was missing, and she says, but she's not really making that recipe right. So she went through the whole recipe, so I wrote it down real fast. And then Grandma went to the light, so I rewrote the recipe so that the lady could read it. That piece of paper that I had, I just threw in my case that I carry. And when I got home, I just had a box, and I would just shove these papers somewhere. So another lady, and it was around Christmas again, and she called me up. She had something in her house. And she said, and walked in, oh, my gosh, the house smells so good. Here, she had been making nut rolls. And when she brought me in, I came up the three steps into the kitchen, and they were cooling on, like, metal racks. She had just taken them out of the oven. And I'm not that great of a baker, but I looked at these nut rolls that she had made, and I thought, geez, I wonder what she's doing wrong, because they really weren't real round. They were sort of like a long pancake.
Okay.
Instead of being a nut roll. And I thought, you know, whatever. So we're in the living room, and it was an older woman that was in her house, the ghost. And she said, she makes terrible nut rolls. And I'm thinking, okay. She said, you know what, let me give you my recipe for nut rolls for her. And I said, okay. So I'm writing it down real fast and everything, and I said, the woman says that your nut rolls are nice.
Yeah.
Which is not what she said. That's what I said.
Right.
And she says, but she thought that maybe you would really, really like her nut roll recipe that everybody really, really, really loved. And she said, oh, yeah. So I wrote it down real fast, and then I rewrote it nicely and gave it to her and threw that scrap one in my case. And the other thing that she told her that I had never heard before, she said, have her roll the nut roll out on a cloth. And after the filling is in place, to just bring the cloth up, and it'll make it a nice tight roll, which actually works.
Uh-huh.
So the woman called me up about the week after Christmas, and she said, am I allowed to give out this recipe that you gave me? I said, sure, why not? I don't know. She says, well, the ghost didn't say I couldn't give it to anybody, did she? I said, no. And she said, I'm telling you, everybody loves this. Nobody ever asked me for the recipe for my nut rolls. Everybody wants this recipe. So, and that's how it just started. I ended up with all of these goofy recipes. And then I was at an event someplace for a book signing, and there was a guy next to me from one of the, when we had bookstores,
uh-huh.
He was there selling books from one of the local bookstores. And I had given that little story about the nut roll to an internet interview with mm-hmm. somebody, and they were doing a cookbook. She says, you don't happen to have a recipe from a ghost, do you? I said, I do.
Right.
I can give you a nut roll recipe.
Right.
So this guy had seen this. He says, do you have other recipes? I said, yeah. I says, I got a whole box full of recipes. And that's how it happened, Raleigh. He said, did you ever think of putting them together? I said, nope. And one thing led to another, and that's how Beyond Delicious came around.
Which is a great idea, but of course you had to verify that these ghosts were telling you the real deal. So did you make every one of these recipes?
Well, I found out, because that was not a self-published book. It was actually published by a publishing house.
Okay.
And I found out that when a recipe is published by a publishing house, every recipe has to be tested in a licensed kitchen.
Oh, no.
I will never write a cookbook again as long as I live. I edited and edited and edited. You know, somebody from the 30s or 40s said, yeah, put it in a hot oven.
Right.
That's not good enough for a recipe. You need to have a degree,
oh, no.
400 degrees, 375. Stir it until it bubbles. And they had some, they used like some really weird kind of spices and stuff that I don't even know if they're available. I mean, who knows what they, some lady gave me a recipe for roadkill.
Oh, God.
That one didn't. That one didn't make it.
I was going to say, I'd love to see the licensed kitchen with that. That would have been worth it right there. Now,
right. So, yes, every recipe was started. I've got some favorites in there. There's some really good ones in there. But what makes me happy sometimes is somebody will come up to me after an event and I'll have bought a cookbook and they'll go, "My grandmother made that recipe 60 years ago. Nobody ever had it. Thank you so much." So it's really cool the way people recognize some of them.
Oh, sure. Sure, and in a way it's preserving something because we think about history being preserving, but the likelihood of family recipes is probably nil other than the family themselves. So this is ultimately a history book. It's a window on the world.
Right, and the thing is that when I started doing the recipes, it automatically had to go, the story had to go with it.
Of
course. So they know how I got it.
Of course.
I mean, it had to be done like that, so. But it was, like I said, that was, out of all my books that I've written, that was the hardest one to write.
Oh, I'll bet. Now, did you actually have to be at the licensed kitchen, or did the publisher just do this?
No, I did not. The publisher, they got the script and the manuscript, and they took it to the licensed kitchen, and then the papers would come back with red marks everywhere. This has to be changed. This has to be explained. None of my stories had to be edited, but every recipe almost had to be edited. There was a couple recipes that I couldn't even figure out how to write them correctly that never even made it into the book.
Oh, sure.
Do it.
Sure. That's fascinating.
It's hard.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Sure it is. But one of your books is now out on audio.
Yes, When Ghosts Speak is out on audio, and that floored me because the book came out when Ghost Whisperer was in production,
right,
in 07, and I got a call from this man, and he said who he was and what he wanted, and they wanted to do When Ghosts Speak in audio, and I said, after 10 years, that they don't do things like that. And he says, no, the book's a really good seller. He says, and we want to do it in audio. And I says, oh, yeah, okay, send me the paperwork. Let me see what you're talking about. So then I called my agent in New York, my book agent, and who it was published with. And I said, do you think this guy's legit? And she says, no, not after 10 years. I said, yeah, that's what I thought. I said, okay. She said, what was his name? And I told her. And she says, did he say where he was calling from? And I told her. She says, you know what, hold on a minute. She put me on hold, and it was about 5 minutes later she came back on. She says, he's legit. They really want to do it.
Oh, wow.
I said, great. She says, did he tell you they want you to read it?
Oh, no.
I said, oh, no. No, 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 no. That's not a good idea. And she said, oh, no, Marianne. She says, I think that's a really good idea. I said, ay. So it was, you have no idea how hot Cleveland is in August.
Oh.
It's miserable. And it was a week in August, and it was unbearable. I don't, as you know, I don't touch a computer. And so they stuck me in this little room, and they put it on the computer that I was supposed to scroll up and read the book out loud. and I looked at this guy that was running it. I says, I can't touch this computer; it'll die.
Right.
He said, No, it'll be fine. And I said, no, you're not understanding what I'm telling you.
Right, it'll die.
I can't touch your computer. And he said, oh, and I said, you have two cell phones sitting over there on that desk. He said, yeah. I says, why do you have two? He says, well, one's personal, and he says, and the other one is an older one that I just use on occasion. I says, the older one, is it all charged up? He goes, yeah, did you need it for something? I says, let me have it. And he handed it, I said, turn it on. He turned it on, he handed it to me. 30 seconds, there was no juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't touch a cell phone. I don't own a cell phone. phone I'm talking to you is plugged into the wall right now. I don't have anything like that. And I says, do you want me to show you what I can do to your computer? He said, no. And I said, so how are we going to do this? So they got me a pencil with a good-sized eraser on it, and that's how I would scroll this up on the computer.
Oh, jeez.
With the eraser.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And then there's this woman sitting in New York, and I don't know, there was like this little thing that was on the computer that was clipped down that apparently she could see me and hear me.
Mm-hmm.
She was like the producer of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't the third sentence that I started speaking that she said, stop, start over again. You forgot the S on ghosts.
Oh, God.
That went on for hours.
And you did this. I hope they paid you.
It was worth $1,500.
No. No. No, you should have paid them $1,500 to go away. Oh, my God.
Did not do it.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, no. You know,
I
know firsthand about this because everybody wanted me to do an audio book of my book. I couldn't do it. I absolutely couldn't do it. I tried a few times, and finally I said, I give up. It's not my skill.
It's hard. It's very hard to do.
It is very hard to do.
And you read, you know, when you read something out loud, your eyes go before what comes out of your mouth. You
right.
You can't read it word for word. And I would be reading and see what's coming up next, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm not going to say that right. She's going to really get upset with me.
Oh, no.
And sure enough, I jinx myself. I would jinx myself, and it wouldn't come out right. And she'd go, let's start over again. It's like, let's find another word. I don't like that word anymore.
Right, exactly. Oh, man.
And she said, well, it's your book. You can do whatever you want. And I says, well, that word is now gone. So, but yeah, but and I don't know, people that have heard it, apparently, I think, don't you think that everybody thinks their voice is normal? It's not different from anybody else's voice? But apparently people, like, which is crazy because I do recognize your voice.
Yeah.
But people recognize my voice also.
Of course.
And I guess, but and by me reading it, I guess it was a good thing. But that's, again, something I will never do again, that's for sure.
Well, I'm impressed. I knew you had an audiobook. I haven't heard it yet. I didn't know you read it. I know exactly how hard that is. And I'm absolutely impressed. All the more reason everybody reads through. Now, I haven't mentioned the phone number yet, and yes, I will share you. I always tell people that I hog the people I like for a while, but I will share you. But I need to warn anybody who wants to call us that if there is somebody disincarnate there, Marianne can see your house, period. So with that in mind, 610-640-6400, 610-640-6400. Now, that begs a lot of questions. If there are no ghosts there at all, can you see their houses?
Nope. Can't see a thing.
Interesting. So when you are seeing...
Now, if they have negative energy on them, i.e. a curse or something like that, yes, I can see inside their house with that too. But if there's no negative energy in the house and there's no earthbound spirits in the house, can't see a thing. That's why I really get worried when somebody calls me from around, and I've gotten calls from everywhere, all over everywhere, the world. If somebody is missing or they can't find them or somebody was kidnapped, because if this person is calling me from their house and they want to know this information, they have to realize that if I see that person that they're looking for in a spirit form standing behind them, that they are dead.
Of course.
And is that something that, I mean, is that what you really want to know? And I can understand people that have been missing for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Some people just need closure and it has to be done with.
Of course.
But somebody that's recent, I really get a little worried about that. I almost like it when I can't see anybody because I can't say that they're not dead. But I don't see them standing behind them or in the house anywhere. So, they could be dead and out flitting around somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, but if I see them standing right behind them, and it's really sad if it's,
kids,
you know, younger people, children.
Yeah, kids,
I hate to see the dead in somebody's house, so.
Oh, yeah, and then have to tell them that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's gotten to the point where I can't speak to them over the phone, but if the person that called me asks yes and no questions, I can see the ghost shake their head yes or no. So sometimes I can get some more information over the phone, but it's like this week with this nutty, crazy full moon this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a killer moon. It's ghosts on steroids this week. I'm not kidding you. They have so much energy this week with this moon. And so if somebody had called me, you know, with somebody that died recently, violently or, you know, naturally, if they were in the room, I would really be able to pick up a good energy on that.
Oh, you know, I remember years ago on XM when I had you on, and we had a slew of people waiting in line, and you got on the phone with somebody and this woman, and you kept saying things, and she kept saying, no, 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 and that was pretty much it. And we both wondered, gee, I wonder what that was. The next guy was a trucker, and he was like, oh, my God, you know my truck. This is everything. And so you were actually seeing ghosts with somebody who was on hold rather than the person you were talking to.
Yeah, I didn't even know I could do that.
Well, who would? I mean, that is not the kind of skill you can usually demonstrate. But it was fascinating to me. And, you know, you've seen ghosts your whole life. So to you, this is absolutely normal. And so I assume that when you can see the ghosts from day one, you could see their surroundings. Whatever they saw, you saw it.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, when you're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you don't really realize that. Again, I was 7 before I actually realized that not everybody did it. I just assumed everybody could do it. Why would I think anything different?
Of course.
Yes, when I go to a mall, the thing is, if you go to a mall, hardly ever do, but if you do, you're walking from one store to another, you know you're walking with people because there's people all around you, but do you look at the people?
Right.
If you walk from one store to another and somebody stopped you and they said to you, tell me, describe somebody that you passed out there, you don't look. You just go. And that's who I am with ghosts when I'm, you know, they're there, I just don't pay attention to them.
Well, sure.
I only pay attention to them when I'm in somebody's house, and that's what I'm there to do.
Now, what I really find interesting is, of course, you can see them, but unless you make contact, they don't know that that's the case.
No, they do not know I can see them. If you're in a restaurant, you and John are in a restaurant, you're having a nice meal, and you need the wait staff for something.
Yeah.
You dropped your fork or you need a new napkin or something. How do you get that person's attention? You stare at them.
Right.
And eventually they turn around and you catch their eye. Well, if I want a ghost to know that I can see them, I'll stare at them. Or I'll wink at them. And then they pull one of these, they look over each shoulder like, me? Are you winking at me? And
mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you, bud. I can see you. And I have done that in public. If I see somebody messing around with waitstaff in a restaurant, or there was in an airplane, this guy kept pushing the flight attendant's coffee cup off her little tray back there and smashing it on the floor. And that tray have lips around them. They shouldn't slide anywhere.
Right.
And this poor flight attendant, she couldn't believe it. And I was in the first seat, right on the other side of the galley. And I'm watching this goofy guy do this. And I'm thinking, don't do it. don't do it. And he did it again. And I finally, hey, knock it off. And he just walked right out the door. He was gone.
While you were in flight?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And of course, I mean, he was already dead, so it didn't kill him.
Well, no,
and
right.
And the door doesn't have to be open for them to use it.
Right.
But it turned out this is exactly the same thing on an airplane. They still use a doorway.
That's so fascinating. Why?
It is because when you're alive, you don't walk through walls. When you're alive, you use a doorway. And they realize when they're dead and earthbound, the door doesn't have to be open. They can actually come through a closed door, but it's still the doorway. And they just, I mean, there'd be no reason why they couldn't walk through a wall. I mean, none. And the interesting thing is they don't really use windows either. And, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule. If you have college students that are on the first, second, or the third floor of a dorm, the fees go up on those windows because college students use their windows as doors if they're on the first, second, or the third floor.
Okay.
So those we do protect. But normally, there was a lady that called me up, and it was quite a drive for me to get to her house. And she had three boys, and they were like maybe 2.5, 3.5, and maybe a 5-year-old. And these kids were just little beasts. I'm not kidding you. Mm. And I'm a child. I love kids. But these kids, So I'm sitting in the kitchen talking to this mom, and the three boys are like devils running around the house. And I can see into the dining room, but she can't. So I see the middle one, like the 3.5-year-old, pull out a dining room chair, get on the chair, stand on the table, grab the chandelier, and start swinging on the chandelier. Mm-hmm. And I learned a long time ago, you don't say anything to any mom or dad about their kids.
No.
Never.
They're perfect. Yeah.
Never. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this kid's going to pull this right out of the ceiling. So I looked at her and I just said, gosh, you're just not going to guess what your little guy's doing in the dining room. And she never missed a beat. She said, is he swinging on the chandelier?
Oh.
Now, I made mention of the fact that we showed dogs at one time in our lives, and all I could think was, I have better behaved dogs than these kids.
Well, you trained them.
It was terrible. And the main reason that this woman had called me is that her master bedroom was upstairs, and their bathroom off of that, the master bathroom, and it had a shower in there with a glass door that was sort of like not a heavily frosted, but, you know, it was like a little bit frosted.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a bar, so she would put the towel on the, on the bar on the outside, go in and take her shower. And then when she opened the door, the towel would be right there. So she's in the shower, taking a shower. And she sort of watches, because the towel was white, she sort of sees this towel start moving off of the rack. And she's thinking, how is it falling going up? Because if a towel's going to fall, it's going to go down,
up.
Yeah. And here it gets to the middle of the room, and it looked like she couldn't see anybody standing there, but whoever this guy was, he was standing there with the corner of the towel, making it do like a lasso on the top of his head.
That's great.
And that's why she called me.
Yeah.
Because of this towel. So here these kids are being bad. So I got rid of everybody that was there, got the seats up. She called me about 3 weeks later. No, she called me about a week later, and she says, oh, my God. She says, I have got to tell you, she says, my boys are so well-behaved now. And I'm thinking to myself, there is no way those kids were going to behave.
Uh-huh.
But she thought they were better, so that was good.
Right.
About 3 weeks later, she calls me up, and she says, I think we've got a problem in the house again. And I could see in her bedroom, there was a man sitting on the foot of her bed. He had missing teeth in his mouth. He looked like he was a bum. I said, what's going on? And so she, you know, she said, things are happening in the house again. She says, but only up here in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you missing a seed from one of the doors? She said, no. And there was no door or balcony off of this bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, fine, I'll come back up. So I go back up. And I'm on the first floor, and I had to go upstairs. He would not come down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that was that the steps to come down dumped right in the foyer, maybe 3 feet away from the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed was up there, so he couldn't get close to it, so he had to stay upstairs. So I go upstairs, and there he is sitting at, she had a makeup, like a makeup thing, and he was sitting on that stool. And I looked at him, and I said, how did you get in here? And he just looked at me, and he wouldn't talk to me. I said, you're going to tell me, how did you get in here? And he still didn't answer me, and I says, well, you're going, one way or the other. I says, either you're going to go out the way you came in, or I'll make the light for you, and you can go into the light. And he said, so I'm talking to her, so now I'm ignoring him. And I found out when an earthbound spirit realizes I can talk to them, it's like they haven't talked to anybody in years.
Because they haven't.
They don't really like to be.
Right.
Right, and they don't like to be ignored.
Yeah.
So I just ignored him, and he says, well, okay, okay. And he gave me his name and when he died, and I says, now I need to know how you got in here. And my thought had maybe thought maybe he came in through a vent through the attic and came down that. I mean, I didn't know how he got in there. Here, when he was alive, he was a second-story burglar. He was used to going in and out of windows. He came right in through her bedroom window on the second story.
This is amazing.
I'm learning all the time.
There's a theme here that basically the ghosts are unaware of what they can do and only do what they did do, which begs the question,
exactly,
how many of them think they're alive?
No, none of them. They all know they're dead.
Really?
They do. I mean, how do you not stand on the outside of your body when your spirit leaves and look down and know that you're not dead? Stand at the foot of your casket and look at your body in the casket and think, I'm not dead. No, I have never, 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 never. Do they like it? Of course not. Not all of them. But they know they're dead. Even car accidents, because I've been called to a car accident, but I do a lot of work for the State Highway Patrol. And they'll call me in, especially if it's a questionable who crossed the line, who lost, does he fall asleep? You know, sometimes
yeah,
they don't know. And so in, if they get hold of me fast enough, right after the accident happened and they haven't removed the bodies yet or anything, then I can talk to the victims and find out exactly what happened. And they, even ones that die in crashes like that, they absolutely know they're dead. Absolutely. And they can see anybody that they killed with them dead also. I mean, the last one I did in one of the counties, the husband fell asleep, crossed the line, killed him, his wife, and his baby daughter.
Oh.
And the wife was standing there with holding the baby.
Oh, boy.
And the three, yeah. So, no, they know they're dead. They absolutely know. Sylvia Brown was a great one for saying that people didn't know they were dead.
Yeah.
And I always question that because that's one thing that I have never found, that they did not know they were dead.
Is there anything Sylvia Brown has ever said that you didn't question? I mean, I know for me, if Sylvia Brown said it, I immediately wondered whether there was any validity to it.
I know. And now that she's dead, rest in peace, you know, I think she probably sees exactly the errors of what she preached for all those years. But again, the kids when they died, not kids that have been sick for a long time, like kids with, you know, diseases to kill them. Believe it or not, they really know that they are dying, and they're really okay with it. But kids that are killed in a crash, unexplained deaths, or drowning, or something like that, they are actually more confused than an adult is, because there's mommy and daddy crying, and they don't know why, and they're trying to be comforted by mom and dad, and they can't because they don't have a body anymore. And that's and yet they can see themselves in a casket, but if you're 4, 5, or 6 years old,
doesn't mean anything.
That's sort of hard to understand.
Yeah. Well, now, the first thing I thought of is there's so many people here who are still alive who absolutely are convinced in their mind that nothing happens when they die. There's absolutely no way. And I'm sure you've run into some of them. This must be the shock. I was going to say the shock of their life. It's the shock of their death.
Right. And it's crazy. Atheists or agnostics, those are the best funerals for me to go to.
I'll bet.
Not that I'm not sorry that the person is dead, but the look on their face that they are not a pile of dust somewhere is priceless. There's no, it's like, oh my God, there is God. You know, it's like, and more than half of them at that point are afraid to go into the light.
Well, sure. What if the other stories are true? Yeah, I could
right.
See, I could see that. Yeah, it makes all sense in the world. That's got to be a lot of fun in terms of that. But then, of course, the limitation to what you do is you don't see them after they've crossed over.
Absolutely not. I do not.
And
I do not.
I was going to say, have you ever tried to figure out what it is, like a vibration, you know, a frequency, some reason that you're not picking up those who cross over?
I think it's a different vibration level. I think that's probably it. I mean, because everybody, when a person knows that they actually have ghosts in the house, or they're pretty convinced that they do, they automatically call on Michael the Archangel or Raphael the Archangel, or they try to call on the big guns.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry, they don't do it either. But, again, they're not on the same level, vibration level, that an earthbound spirit is. And I think once you cross into that light, you change your vibration level, and I just can't see them. But then there's people that can only see them.
Right.
And not see what I see.
Exactly.
So everybody has unique abilities. Everybody can do something, whether they believe it or not. I got a question, this YouTube thing I'm doing. I got a question, and somebody asked me, what does negative energy look like? And it's like, what does negative energy look like? So I said to her on the YouTube, it was the one last week or the week before, I said, this is it. I said, if you walk into somebody's house where there's nice music playing and you smell a nice dinner cooking and everybody's happy and having a good time, I says, that makes you feel good. That's good energy. It's a feeling, not a seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I says, you walk into a house where there's a bunch of crabby, grumpy old people, and they're fighting or they're upset about something, you're uncomfortable, you don't feel good in that house. That's negative energy. It's a feeling, mm-hmm. not a seeing. Now, if somebody has negative energy on them, I can see, like a navy blue color around them, or a black color, or a dark gray color, depending on how bad the negative energy is. But that's actually negative energy on a person.
Right.
But negative energy in, I mean, and we've all been somewhere where when you walk in, I need to get out of here.
Oh, sure.
It just feels terrible in here. And we've all had that feeling.
Yeah.
Just like there's some places you go that feel so good you never want to leave.
Yeah.
So it's a feeling. It's not something that you can see.
So let's talk about your YouTube channel here. And, of course, I've got a link on Raleigh.net, and I know you do on MaryAnnWankowski.com. And if anybody is on YouTube, all they have to do is type in Mary Ann Wankowski, and the first thing you do is get a link to your channel. And, of course, there's a number of videos up there that aren't part of your channel from interviews done with other people. But you've now done, it looks like, 19 videos with your channel. So considering how much you love computers, how did you get roped into this?
Well, I was on an overnight radio show that has a pretty good sized listening group, and the host of that show told me that the topic was going to be negative energy, curses, negative energy, and I said, "No, please, let's just talk about ghosts. We don't really want to talk about that." And I said, you don't understand. If somebody has a car accident, or somebody's going through a divorce, or somebody is told they have a bad disease, or they're 40 years old and they don't have a boyfriend yet, it must be a curse.
Yeah.
Everything's a curse.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes life just happens. You're not cursed. It's life. And so I said, but if we do this on the radio, I says, it's going to be bad. And they pushed and said, no, that's actually positively what they wanted to talk
about.
So here I am. When Ghosts Speak, that book, the last chapter in that book is how to remove negative energy. That is actually the workbook when I gave that workshop for years and years and years. Go to the library. Don't even buy the book. Go to the library and take it out of the library. Follow the instructions, and you can take care of any negative energy. I repeated that 6 or 7 times. Every hour I was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And that show was on a Friday night, and by Sunday evening at 6 o'clock at night, I had 376 calls. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I was getting calls from people that were living in their cars in California, and then there were 17 collect calls from prison.
Oh, geez.
Oh, well, yeah. You could hear the prisoner talking to the operator.
Right, of course.
I have to talk to her. I'm in here because I have a curse. I'm thinking, yeah, you and everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
So it was like, my husband said, well, he says, you can't call all these people back. A lot of them are asking the same question. He says, why don't we try to figure out this YouTube stuff?
Wow.
Now, and again, I do not touch a computer. And it's like, how am I supposed to do this? I don't know how to do this. And again, we're from that age group. We did not know, not computers. We didn't do computers. And so it took Ted maybe a day and a half to figure out how to do a YouTube thing.
Mm-hmm.
A 10-year-old probably could have figured it out in 5 minutes, but that's not the case here. And so then I sit in front of this computer thing, and I have to look at that little white dot, and I can't touch anything. I almost sit on my hands so that I don't accidentally touch the computer and make the Geek Squad come out.
Right.
And so it's like, ay, ay, ay. And the first 6, I think, are absolutely horrible. I think they're getting a little bit better now because I'm sort of used to it. But people are definitely getting the information out there, which is the whole purpose of it. And the subjects are all different, and each week's something different, and the letters are coming in. And I think the one, like, next week I'm going to talk about is sleep paralysis.
Ooh,
I know that's a medical thing, but believe me, if a ghost is on top of you, you're not going anywhere either.
Well, so that ghosts on top of you, I was looking at your channel, and of course, Ghost Sex Solve 2, I see this, of course I can't hear it because I'm talking to you, but is that a problem?
Oh, yeah, especially if it's a pervert or somebody. Oh, yeah. You know, if it's somebody that comes in through your patio door, comes in through the garage, comes in through your front door, those are spirits that are generally pretty generic. They can leave anytime they want. They can drive with you in the car. They can be nosy and go in the neighbor's house. I mean, they're not the really bad ones. When people have portals in their house, those are the really bad ones. Those are the ones that when somebody calls and leaves a message, if I see a man standing there in an orange jumpsuit, I know darn well he died in a prison somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is, that's going to be a problem. And you think of the types of people that are in prisons, and geez, they're invisible now, so what do you think they're going to try to do?
Oh.
And they try. So, yeah, and there have been people that have ended up with bruises on their wrists, and it would be, again, a week working up to a full moon, and this would be a perfect week for that because of this full moon on Sunday, Monday. But bruises on their thighs, or they can be in the shower, they can feel hands running up and down their back. These are usually people that come out of a portal. They're not nice. A portal can be closed, but a portal is always, always, always blown open by live people, not dead people.
What is a portal?
A portal is an energy opening. And the opening goes to the best way to describe it, you know how subways are underground and in tunnels and that kind of a thing? Portals are an opening to a tunnel or to a track. So if a prisoner gets killed in San Quentin and they don't go to the light, they go to that dark space, that black hole, where if you watch the movie Ghosts with Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze, remember at the end of the movie the bad one went to that oil pit? Well, that's the same thing. They go to the dark side because I don't know if they were from the light to begin with. And so they can travel these tunnels anywhere and end up in anybody's house that has a portal. They can be, I mean, I have found portals in people's houses with ghosts from Canada, from Europe, from South America, and those people are interesting from South America,
but at any rate. Yeah.
So it is just, it's crazy. Now, the good thing about a portal, and there's an upside, that when a spirit comes out of a portal, they can't stay in your house any longer than a day and a half or 2 days at the most, and they have to pop back in.
Really?
They can never, ever, ever leave the four walls of the house. They can go into the attached garage, they can go in the attic, they can go down the basement, but they cannot leave the four walls of the house.
What is that about? So I guess they die, they go down to the portal. That must be a choice, just like deciding to go through the light.
Everything else,
right? So now they're in the portal, so basically they're stuck in the portal forever?
Well, yeah, but look at all the openings. They can go from here to there, anywhere. They can pop in anybody's house that they want. Say somebody pops in your house from a portal and they really like what's going on in your house, but they can only stay for a day and a half or two.
Yeah.
So they leave. that doesn't mean another one can't pop in, and that doesn't stop this one from coming back if
well,
he
right,
wants to.
Right. Oh, sure. Now, assuming that that's the case, I've got this big portal, and here's my panoply of ghosts. If you were to see them, can you cross them over, or if once they've been in a portal, they're not going anywhere?
They still have the two choices, just like a regular Earthbound spirit does. Either I'll make the light, and they will walk into it and be where they need to be, or they walk out the door for an Earthbound, or they pop back into their portal, and then I close the portal, and the portal is gone.
Oh, really? So you can remove the portal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you do that?
It's actually almost done the same way with the same products that I use when I do a negative energy removal.
Uh-huh.
Instead of doing it on a person, you do it on the space where you find the portal. And when I can tell over the phone where your portal is, and when I go to your house, if that's what you choose to do, and have me come out and close it, once I talk to who's ever there and they decide if they're going back in or to the light, whatever. And I have to tell you, 99% of the people that come out of a portal go back in the portal.
Really?
They do not want to go to the light.
Now, that's interesting.
These guys are really afraid of retribution.
Really?
I mean, they did heinous things. I mean, they were really bad. Well, if they were put to death by the state, you know they did bad things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's interesting because, you know, when we've talked about the earthbound spirits you encounter, like 99% of them, you can get them to go into light. But so this is like a diametrically opposed. They're not going anywhere.
That's right. Not if they don't want to.
Whoa.
That's exactly right. And it's funny, you know, somebody will think about calling me because they've had a bad couple of days. And then it's like, no, everything's fine. The kids are okay. We're good. And then two or three or four days later, it starts up again. They got a portal. Everything's fine until somebody pops out of that portal for a day or two. And then it's all hell in the house, and then they pop back in, and everything's back to normal. It's, you know, it's not hard. It's pretty easy stuff. If there's a bad divorce, a lot of fighting, sexual abuse, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, any of that stuff can blow open a portal, a murder in a house, not a natural death, but a murder, a violent death in a house. I probably, up until about 10 years ago, if I had to do three or four portals a year, that was a lot. But since the economy took a dive, and all these people lost their houses.
Whoa.
Look how many flip houses there are now. These people that were the owners of the house but lost it to the bank or bankruptcy or foreclosure or whatever, they are so angry that they're losing their house. A lot of these people will beat the house up, rip out the
plumbing,
rip out the... Look at the portal. I mean, they're just creating portals in these houses. So here comes a flipper. My gosh, this house is great. I can get it for $10,000. That guy has had nothing but trouble trying to flip that house because of the junk coming out of the portal. And people that buy these houses, I'm doing a house next Tuesday. Exactly what happened. They bought a house, it was a foreclosure, and there's a big portal in it.
Oh, geez.
And if that's, now I can do two or three of those a week now. Because that's how many portals there are now.
No.
A lady called me up, and she says to me, I think I have a problem. She said, I have two little boys, and I'm pregnant. She says, my boys are 4 and 2. She says, and then the baby's due, you know, shortly. She said, and my oldest boy is afraid to go in his bedroom. She says, there's a man in his bedroom that he doesn't like. And I'm looking through, I'm talking to her, zooming in and out of this house, trying to figure out what's going on. And I see a man All I have to tell you is that if he wore a raincoat, you'd know exactly what he was.
Oh, man.
And so I'm thinking, huh, and she's got a 4 and 2-year-old. This is great. So I told her, Smudge, you get an ordained priest or minister out here. Please do not throw holy water around. That'll make him angry. You know, this is the stuff that you should do. And she said, oh, okay. And I'm not a psychic by any means, but boy, I knew this woman wasn't going to do anything.
Right.
You just know.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a call about 6 months later, and the baby's born, another boy. She says, I got a problem. She says, with the middle one, the middle boy. Now he's about 2 and a half now. And I said, what's that? She says, I don't understand how he's doing it. He goes down for a nap in the afternoon or gets up in the morning. I go to get him. He's still in the crib. And he doesn't have a stitch of clothes on. I said, diapers, onesies, everything is off. She says, yes, and I don't understand how he's doing it.
Uh-oh.
And I think, No. And I said, how's the older one with the man in his bedroom that he's afraid of? She says, oh, he's not afraid of him anymore. The man told him to call him Uncle Al.
Oh, no.
And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, there we go. So I said, you know, there's something. I said, you got this portal I'm telling you about. I said, something really needs to be done. And so she says, yeah, I think I'm going to have you come out. And I said, okay. So I go out there. Luckily, the day that I went, he was out of the portal. The man died in prison. He sexually abused his own son.
Ugh.
And so I'm just thinking, great. So God cleared it all up and everything. And then I made the mistake. Because you talk. Because I talk. I'm a talker. Gee, you think? And so I'm talking. And I said to her, what's going to happen? I says, are you going to go back to work? She says, no, it's too expensive now for me to pay for child care. She said, what I'm going to do is, she said, when the baby is maybe in preschool or kindergarten, I'll go back part-time. And I said, oh, I says, oh, yeah, and child care is expensive. I said, okay. So she said, and then she said, oh, and my old job said they'll take me back. So she says, that's really good. And so then I said, so, gee, what did you do?
Uh-oh.
I worked for children's services. I took abused children out of the home.
Oh, no.
How can you not see it with your own children? I could have stood up and crossed the table and smacked her.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. It's like, ay, ay, ay.
Well, you don't believe it. You just don't believe it's possible,
no.
So you don't see it.
No, exactly right. Exactly right. Life is crazy. That's all I can tell you. Life is really crazy.
Now, when you close a portal for good, I know when you do the house and all you do the Quincy's, I want to get to the Quincy's, but when you close a portal, how do you make it stay closed?
Well, I make a joke about it. Because if the homeowners that are living in the house, if they're the ones that blew it open, then I make a joke and I'll say, the next time you guys want to have a rip-roaring fight, go outside and fight in the backyard.
Okay.
Don't do it in the house.
Because
you do not want to blow a portal open again. And that's the whole thing. It's hard now, especially if you've got kids in the house that are either on drugs or alcohol abuse, because those kids get so angry. And you'd be surprised how many of these kids actually can blow open a portal or fighting with the parents over it. You know, in all honesty, you really don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Ever.
It's sometimes. That's right. And so, I mean, I give a little sneak peek because there's ghosts that have blabber mouths. They tell me things, you know. And a lot of times I'm going, la, 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 la. I don't need to hear that. So, but That's how a portal is blown open, by really negative, something really negative happening in the house. And the interesting thing is this, a portal is never on an outside wall. A portal is always on an inside wall.
Is it all,
I don't know why.
Is it always
all
a wall?
I know is that a portal,
but is it always a wall? Sometimes is it the floor?
In all the years, I've only found two on a floor. They're always on a wall.
Interesting.
I very seldom. And when I get ready to close it, I will have the homeowner come over to where it is and not touch the wall, but move the palm of their hand in the area where the portal is. Mm-hmm. And there has never been one of these people that has not felt the energy from the portal.
Wow.
Every one of them feels something. And when I close it, I make them run their palm over again, and it's gone. They don't feel anything then.
Now, when you're talking, like we're talking right now, if I had a portal, would you see it?
I would.
Okay.
And you don't?
Yeah.
Or it would tell you.
Yeah. No, we're too boring for a portal. But, you know.
Yeah, but again, you don't know if you have a property that's older. You don't know what's gone on in years before.
Oh, absolutely. I remember when I lived in that place in Chad's Ford, you damn near died when you're telling me all the stuff that was there. That's still a night. Well, you know, and it's so funny because John always called me a drama queen, and I'd say, I know there was blood on this ceiling. And of course, there was. But it's easy to dismiss. But now, the Quince seeds, which I swear by, but why do they work?
Well, my relatives in Italy do some kind of energy work with them. I don't know exactly what it is that they do. All I know is that it works.
It does.
And people use Native American Indians tobacco leaves. People use horseshoes, four-leaf clovers. A lot of people use stones now or crystals. Everybody's got their own little thing that they think that works. But this is the only thing that I know that 100% works. And I've already had people, a quince being a cross between a pear and an apple, so they come out in the fall when the apples and the pears come out.
Mm-hmm.
And people have gone to the stores or the home market store or whatever and bought a quince and cut it open and taken the little seeds out. And, these don't work. I don't know what she's talking about. Well, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't get the zapping of the energy from my relatives in Italy for whatever it is that they do with them. But as long as they're there, they work 100%. And I've never, ever, ever, as long as that seed is there, I've never, ever get called back to a house a second time, ever.
Yeah, it's
so it works.
Gotta be the energy, you know, no doubt about it.
Yeah. There was a lady that called me up. She had one of these houses that would be like over $1.5 million.
Whoa.
She wanted to buy it.
Nice.
It's huge, 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 just. And so she called me up and she says to me, we finally sold the house after 2 years. We're signing the final papers on Wednesday. This was a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
She said, so tell me, what do I do with the seeds? How do I do this now? And I said, okay, get an envelope and run around and take all the seeds down and put them in an envelope and call me from your new house. And if that house is clear, you can just put these seeds back up again.
Right.
And I said, you downsized, right? So she goes, well, that's what we thought we were doing. She says, but I don't think I'm going to have enough seeds. I think she has something like 40 seeds and it wasn't going to be enough.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
So I said, well, it's okay. I said, if you need more, call me and I'll send you some out. She said, okay. So Wednesday afternoon, I get a call from her. And she goes, please, please call me back immediately. As soon as you get this, I have to talk to you. I have a huge problem. So I called her back and I said, what's the matter? And she said, we went to sign the papers today. And she said, the couple said they wouldn't sign the papers if I didn't leave the Quincy's.
Whoa.
I said, you told them about them? I mean, who would do that?
Yeah, who would tell them?
And she said, no. She says, with a house that's being shown in that price range, the homeowners are never home, just the real estate agent brings somebody through. And she says, I didn't know it, but these people were running their hands over the top of all the doorways to see if there were seats. She said, so what do I do? I said, just leave them. Call me from your new house, and I'll send you out new ones. So now people are looking. They know if the seats are over the top of the doors, that the house is a good house. They're not going to have a problem with it.
That's fascinating.
I know. Crazy.
Well, it is. Now, I know that in a couple cars, because you got to put them in cars, too. You had told me about that. Yeah, you told me about that. And we got rid of a couple cars, and I forgot to take the seeds out, and I'm still kicking myself. So.
Oh, well, we could take care of that.
Yeah, fortunately, I had enough for the replacement cars. But yeah, John, I thought about it like a week later, and I said, you think we can just go? And I said, no, we can't. No.
Well, and you should have one on the back of your driver's license, too.
Really? Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Well, see, I never show my driver's license because I've seen that picture. So when anybody needs photo ID, I give them my passport.
Yeah, but that's not the purpose of looking at the picture. The purpose is if you have the seat when you're in a grocery store, you're out shopping someplace or at a movie, no earthbound spirit can get within 3.5-4 feet of you.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I do have a charm in my wallet.
There you go. So you're good.
Yeah, no, I don't go anywhere without that charm. So you betcha.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the law of abundance. And I'll also say again, I think I've scared people off, but if you want to call, if you're so brave, Marianne will tell you all about what's in your surroundings, and that's 610-640-6400, 610-640-6400. So the law of abundance. Now, this is interesting to me because I've heard this in a number of different ways. You're the only person I know who says you've got to do it right before the full moon. Not right. I mean, the new moon.
New moon.
Right before the new moon, not right after. Why before?
Because the new moon is sucking up the energy. When it peaks, then it goes down. So it's because of that phase of the moon. You're just going to get more abundance if you do it before it actually peaks.
Okay.
And universal law. Money out there, all you have to do is ask for it. It just doesn't come to you, and that's why you write out the check each month to yourself. You can't do it for your husband, your kids. You have to do it for yourself. And you can make a check on a piece of paper. You can use a check out of your checkbook. Just where you on the registry, if you use a check out of your checkbook, don't write void. You just voided the whole thing out.
Right.
Write law of abundance so you know where that check went. You'd never date it because you don't want to, you want it to be open. You don't want to say just up to this date. You never put an amount in because you don't want, again, however much is out there you want. You don't want to, if you ask for $100, why? If you don't write anything there, maybe you'll get $2,000.
Right.
Where it says pay to, you write your name in full. On the next line where you would normally write out the amount of money, you write paid in full. And where you would normally sign your name, you write law of abundance. And that has to be done, again, before the new moon peaks that month. And if you go to my website, all the times are there, but they're for Eastern Standard Time, so you'll have to adjust them to your time zone. And it's almost the hardest thing to do is that you can't ever throw those checks out. You have to keep them.
Well, right.
And
I was going to say, that's interesting, too, because I've heard other people say you have to burn them on the full moon.
No, never heard that either. All I know is that And again, you know, no two people butter toast the same way.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to do things different. But this is the way that's worked for me, and it's worked, I mean, and it does work. Now, don't always expect money, and don't write it out now knowing you're going to get an income tax check. This is unexpected. Some people will get really great prizes, win contests. I have known people to win the lottery.
Wow.
A lady stopped me the other day. She says, I didn't know it, but I got a $42 refund check exactly 8 hours after I wrote my Law of Abundance. She says, every month something happens. A lady had really big dogs, and she got 2 years' worth of free dog food.
Wow.
A nice brand of dog food, not good brand. Lady came up to me after an event one time, and if there's sometimes one of the questions come out of the audience, what about the Law of Abundance? So I'll talk about it. And this lady came up to me, and she said, my mother needs a kidney, but she has a very rare type of blood, and she is on a kidney donor list. She says, but can she write out the Law of Abundance? Do you think that'll do it? And I said, gosh, I don't know. I said, but what's it going to take, 3 minutes?
Right, can't hurt.
Do it. I mean, do it. 3 months later, the lady got a kidney.
Wow.
And a doctor that I know did it. And he was laughing, but he did it. And he said, he called me about 6 months after he had started doing it. And he said, you aren't going to believe this. He says, it was like August. He says, I just got a refund from the IRS for $16,000.
Whoa, that's nice.
I said, what? And he said, yeah, from 4 years ago. He said, I can't believe it. He says, I never even knew that there was any kind of an error anywhere. I can't believe the IRS was honest and sent it back to him.
Right, exactly.
In all honesty. And I says, wow. I says, what did your accountant say? He said, plenty after I fired her.
Oh, geez.
But, so it's really odd the way it works, but it really does work. Another girl called me up, just this past one, and she says, I'm really scared. She says, I wrote out the Law of Abundance, and I said, why is it scaring you? She said, I have a year-old little boy that I'm nursing. And I said, yeah. And she said, and my husband and I had like an extra 5 minutes. And she said, I think I'm pregnant. She said, did the Law of Abundance do that?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, your husband did that. Not the law.
Exactly.
I said, I don't think it counts for that. And she said, oh, okay. It's like, you never know what people are going to ask you, I swear.
Oh, of course not. And just like the people who think they're cursed, it's always nice to say, well, my luck is down because I'm cursed, you know, like the people calling you from prison. But invariably, it's usually a little more human than that. Now, I noticed this last new moon, the one I wrote my Law of Abundance check out 20 minutes late. I noticed that, by the way, if you write it 20 minutes late, I assume it still works, just not as powerful?
Exactly. You hit it. Exactly on the head.
All right. But it was also a solar eclipse. Does that intensify the new moon?
It does. It does. Absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the lunar eclipse here on the full moon.
Yes.
I thought the new moon was another eclipse for next month.
No, for July. July 2nd and December 26th. And see, I found that out because I went to MarianneWinkowski.com.
I know it's someplace. Yeah. I don't know. I never look at the computer.
Well, and rightfully so. You know, you don't want to have to keep replacing them. But when you get to that Law of Abundance page, just click on Calendar of New Moons, and the page will come up where you'll see everything for this year. So for full moons, because we've got this full moon lunar eclipse coming up, anything we're supposed to do for it?
No, just hide your head. I'm telling you, it's called the blood moon, the wolf moon, the super moon, the new moon, the eclipse. It's amazing how all this stuff is happening with this. And if I'm not mistaken, weather permitting, I think most of America is going to be able to see it.
Wow.
See the eclipse. Again, for your time zone. But I know that the full moon actually peaks on Monday here at like 12:16 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
But the eclipse, depending on where you live, you can actually watch it if you so desire to. We've got a terrible storm heading our way, so I doubt if we'll be able to see it.
Right, storm, and then really cold temperatures. It's just not pleasant all the way around. In terms of ghosts, it's one thing when they're fairly recent. It's another thing when you run into them and they're like from the time of Christopher Columbus. What's the oldest ghost you've encountered?
The oldest one that I have encountered, did you know that William Shakespeare had twins?
No.
He did. And I ran into one of his twin daughters.
Whoa.
She was over here across the pond, as they say. She was with one of her father's original manuscripts. And somebody in Ohio had bought it from somewhere. Sotheby's? Is that the big auction house?
Right.
Okay. That's where they bought it from. And the daughter was attached to it. And I think he's been dead a long time. But she was still hanging out. I think that's probably the oldest one. I have seen them and talked to them a lot from the end of the 1800s. That's not that uncommon for me to find those in certain areas. Actually, New Mexico had a lot of really old ones. And in New Mexico is where I found most of the Native American Indians, too. They were still fighting. The horses were even ghosts. I was amazed. I was just absolutely amazed. I'd never seen anything like that before. So it just depends. Some people just think they have to stay around and take care of everybody, and some people are so nosy that they're going to stay around. But then again, once they lose the light, 99% of them don't know how to cross over on their own. You know, if you decide not to go and you're going to stick around and give somebody grief, that white light only stays with you for about 48 to 72 hours after your final memorial service. And, you know, in all honesty, that gives you time to be, you know, snoopy and go through people's houses and no one's going to know you're there. But you're going to notice that light starts getting smaller and smaller. If you don't go into that light, you are stuck. And that's the problem. You don't eat, you don't sleep, but you need human energy to keep going. And that's why you disturb so many houses that you're in. Kids are sick all the time. The adults are sick. But if you hell bent that you got to stick around to give somebody grief, and when it's finally time for you to go and you're ready to go, go to a funeral home that has a service going on. The person whose memorial service is going on, their body will be in the casket. They'll be standing close to the foot of the casket. They will have that bright white light around them. That is not an individual light. That's a universal light. All you have to do is go walk into that light and you'll be right where you need to be. So nobody that is listening to this should ever be stuck. You should all be able to cross over.
You know, that's interesting because I had heard you say that before and I thought, well, everybody knows about the light. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. How would they? And because to me, it's kind of second nature. Of course, you know that. But most people who are living here while they're alive have very little knowledge of the unseen world, so to speak. And so they wouldn't know.
No, and it's interesting because, you know, 30 years ago, if you went to a party and you said to somebody, gee, I think I have a ghost in my house, they'd put you in a cookie factory.
Yeah.
It would seem like you're crazy. Now you go to a party and you tell somebody you think you have a ghost in your house, oh, why? What's going on? And you tell them, oh, heck, they've got two better stories than you now. It's acceptable now. People are okay talking about it now. And I'm sure it's because of all the stuff that's on TV and the movies and everything. But it's not such a taboo anymore. And because of that, at least there's enough information getting out there now where people don't have to be stuck like they did 50, 60, 70 years ago and older than that. Now they can figure out how to go. And I think that's why nursing homes, you know, we just live longer than men. And if you ask a man, it's because we kill them. But at any rate, the amount of old men, ghosts, hanging out in a nursing home, it's amazing. And all they're doing is waiting for their wives to come cross over with their wives when the wives die. And did they know that? No, they just want to be by their wives, and it's going to be, oh, gee, this is great. This is I can go with her still. But on a little side note, the few times I've seen a man in a nursing home, I've never seen a woman waiting for him.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It's like I'm so out of here.
You know, I guess the myths, you would also think that if, you know, somebody dies and doesn't go through the light and they're kind of hanging around, that there would be some spirit guide or some celestial being or I don't know what, kind of guiding them. What, the spirit guide say you're on your own?
I think so, pretty much, because spirit guides are to help the living, not the dead.
Okay.
And the only constant that I know of for sure that is standing by you from the beginning to the end is usually your guardian angel. And they're the ones that if there isn't a grandma or grandpa around or a relative, they're the ones that will carry a young child into the light. Just like people with Alzheimer's or dementia or something that is mentally impaired, where they can't make a correct decision, somebody is there holding their hand to take them. Those people that have anything like that are never stuck. They always cross over. Always.
Makes sense.
So, and that's good to know, because with Alzheimer's, the people before they die are so confused. And that's really a problem for some people, you know, especially if it's your spouse. He can't be wandering around like that. I want him to go to heaven. Well, believe me, he'll be in heaven. Don't worry about it. He'll get there. They're never stuck. They go. And once they get there, then they become healthy again, and they don't even have the disease anymore. I went to a funeral a couple weeks ago, and this guy was so funny. I walked up, and he, I looked at him, and he looked at me. He says, "You can see me." And I said, "Yeah." And he kept looking down at his legs. I said, "What are you looking at?" He said, "I had sugar." He says, "My legs were amputated 20 years ago. Look, I have legs now." He was so happy that he had his legs back. And it's like, aw, that was really nice.
Now, that's interesting because, of course, you know they're made whole when they cross over. But what you're saying is, no, even if they've just left the body and they're earthbound, the body returns to being whole.
Exactly. They're not missing parts and pieces. They're not bloody gory. That's the movie. That's not for real.
But that's really interesting because, of course, they're no more spiritual than when they were in a body. They don't have any more knowledge or anything else like that. They have all these limitations, yet their bodies have healed to whole again.
Right. Yeah. Except physically, not mentally.
Well, right. Right. But the cells all realign.
Exactly. I did another one, and she called me in for her father's funeral, And I went in, and this man was so crabby. He was so crabby. And he was like 85 years old. It's like, and I just looked at him. I says, what is wrong? And he said, did you look at my casket? And I said, well, yeah, it's a little, yeah. I said, that's a strange casket. He said, my son-in-law is so cheap.
Oh.
I said, and usually the ghosts really don't care that much about their funerals.
Right.
The living care more than the dead people do.
Sure.
And I'm looking at this casket. He was a fairly good-sized man, and he's laying in this casket, and his shoulders are almost touching each side. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I see a pair of crutches in there. And I looked at him, and no, he had legs.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I looked back at the body, and there's a blanket on. You know, you can't really lift a blanket up and look. And I said, of course, I've seen that happen, but yeah, I don't do that. And I said, this is strange. What is this? He said, just because I didn't have any legs, they put me in a kid's casket because it was cheaper.
Oh, that's so funny. That's great.
I said, that's terrible.
Well, yeah, on something like that,
I don't know
what, you'd figure they'd just go for cremation. That'd be the cheapest of anything. Which brings up another question. Here you are, and you know people are looking at their body in the casket or whatever. Have you ever gone to situations where they've been cremated and all that's there is their urn?
Oh yeah, a lot of times. And 99% of the time, if that's what they wanted, there's not a problem. But if somebody cremates somebody when they didn't want to be cremated, that could be a problem where they don't cross over. We have a very unique funeral home in this area. Got invited to a funeral there, and I walked in. And, you know, these funeral parlors have usually more than one viewing room. And I walked in, and I walked past this one room, and I looked in, and it looked at big screen TV, and people were watching a football game, and I'm thinking, huh, okay. So I walked down the hallway, and I'm looking, and the name on the top was a woman, so I knew it wasn't him. And I walked down, and the funeral director came up. I says, I'm looking for Mr. Smith. He goes, oh, you passed it up. It's right there, the first one. And I said, oh. So I walked back, and, you know, I don't know these people. They have to recognize me.
Right.
Because I don't know who these people are. They just get invited to these things. And I'm looking around, and I see people sitting on couches, on a recliner, the TVs are on, the football game's on. And I'm looking around for the urn, because I figured he must have been cremated. And I can't find anything. There's this corner, there's like a table with a bunch of pictures, and because people are doing that now, that's pretty common.
Right.
And so the woman, his wife finally spotted me, and she comes over, she says, oh, thanks for coming. I says, I didn't know you had your husband cremated. She said, oh, I didn't.
What?
I said, where is he?
Right.
And she said, he's over there sitting in the recliner with the remote in his hand watching the TV.
She had him stuffed?
No, his body wasn't stuffed, but it was just sitting in a recliner.
Oh, my God.
With the remote in his hand.
I thought maybe she called a taxidermist.
No. Mm-mm, no. And I just looked at her, and I said, really? She goes, yeah. She says, this is what he wanted. I says, great. Okay. Then I found out that funeral home will sit people, women up in a kitchen if that's what they want, or in a bedroom.
Well, now, after the service, do they in fact put them in a casket
he was being put in a casket or cremated after
right,
I guess it could have gone either way.
Well, now,
but I don't know.
Do you have to embalm them in order to leave them in a chair?
Yeah, no, they're embalmed. Yeah,
they
weren't embalmed, they couldn't do that.
Okay,
yeah, no,
so
they
embalm them,
yeah.
And of course, you know, rigor mortis has set in, so you kind of have to position them. I assume there's a lot of makeup involved because, you know, your skin is gray then.
Of course. Well, it's like I got invited to this one funeral, and I walk in, And there's the casket standing upright, leaning against the wall. And he's in the casket, and I'm looking at him, and the wife comes up to me. I said, I don't understand. I says, what are you doing? Why is he like that? Why is the casket standing up? She said, well, and she started to say, she said, no, you ask him. I said, all right. So we walk up, and again, I'm just using a Mr. Smith for all of these. So I says, Mr. Smith, I says, and I introduce myself. And now we have two daughters. And I remember when my girls would get a doll in a box, they had like a twisty around the neck and around the legs. And my mind is going crazy because I'm trying to think, how come this man isn't falling out on his nose? How come he's upright in his casket like that? And I looked at him and I said, what is this? Why are you like this? And he said, well, after 35 years, she actually listened to me. I said, I don't understand. He said, I told her I never wanted to be laid out in a funeral parlor. So they stood him up.
I don't know what to say. But as you're talking about it, I remember years ago, must have been the 50s, there was a funeral home in Chester, South Carolina that had a mummy. And the story was always that it was Luigi. He was a carny worker, and they mummified him. I never never found out why or what happened to Luigi. But I guess if you're willing to pay for it, you can have someone mummified. It's mummification. Have you ever run into a mummy?
No, I have not.
Well, it's pricey. You know, it costs well over $50,000, somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000. So, and you can do artistic mummiforms or your own kind of mummiform or what have you. And like I say, you can spend over $100,000 for this and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I guess it's only cost alone. But yeah, you can be mummified.
Well, I hope somebody would give me a heads up on that before I walked in and saw that.
Yeah.
It was bad enough when I walked up to the one, and I never, you know, I went up to the family, and I would talk to them, and another person walked in and walked over to the front of the casket to kneel down to say a prayer, and all of a sudden, the voice from inside the casket said, thank you for coming to view me.
Yes.
And this person almost passed out. And I looked at, I said, wow. She goes, oh, he's such a jokester. There's a, as soon as anybody steps on that carpet, the microphone goes off like he's talking.
Oh,
I said, you could get somebody a heart attack doing that.
It's like that old Bill Cosby bit, you know. Don't I look natural?
Yeah,
don't I look like myself?
Right.
But
exactly.
I would assume, you know, if you're going from disease, because it's hard to set that up if you're, you know, you're run over by a car one day. Usually most people haven't set up their funeral. But if you have time, you can do most anything, I would assume. Now that I know you can be mummified, I assume you can do anything you want to do.
Pretty much. That's one thing that I actually started saying to these groups when I talked to them. Please, please, please make some kind of written arrangement someplace, because I get so many calls nowadays. Mom died. She never had anything done. We don't know if she wants to be cremated or buried. Can you come with us to the funeral home so we can see what she wants? You know, that stuff should be taken care of before you die. And even, you know, as soon as you own a house or you have kids, you really should have some kind of a will with instructions on what you want done, because it's so hard on families.
You are so right, and there is, I guess it's a superstition about that, because I've known people. I had a friend who was literally in his final days. This is several years ago, and I knew he was going, and I had said to him, do you have a will? Well, no. Well, you know, now might be a time you want to think about that. Oh, I can't do that, then I'll die.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a comeback for that. But, you know, that's when it kind of clicked where I thought, okay, well, that's there are people who are almost superstitious about it. Like, if I plan for my death, well, it'll happen, so I can't possibly plan. And I think that's fine if you hate your relatives. But if you actually like them, it's not in anybody's best interest.
You know, and if anybody has any kind of property or anything, you're leaving, your family's going to have a mess because the state will fight you for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, you really have to think about that. I know it's not pleasant, but if you look at it like, well, gee, you can do it your way, you know, give somebody the power to do it yourself. So I remember that, and it's a terrible thing to say, but when my mother-in-law died, my husband's the only child, and so I told her what I did, and she never disagreed with me, but when she did die, she just looked at me, and I basically said, you know, I told you I'd be the last person you ever talked to.
Oh, my. And what did she say?
And she just looked at me. And I said, here's the light. I says, she was in the hospital. She had died in the hospital. I says, why don't you just go to the light and see Teddy, my father-in-law?
Yeah.
I said, and, you know, I says, all your friends are dead. She was not a popular person. She was very hard to get along with. She didn't really have any kind of, I mean, if anybody was going to come to the funeral, it would have been my family, which he didn't like. And so I said, I think you should go. Well, when my father-in-law died, she paid for her funeral, too, and bought the plots and everything. And so she goes, no. She says, I'm not going. I'm staying. And I just looked at her, and I'm thinking, lady, I'm going to be coming back and have to do this over with you again on my karma, let me tell you. So I looked at her, and I didn't say anything, and I looked at Ted. I says, honey, I says, surprise. I said, your mother wants to be cremated.
That's too good.
And she looked at me, she goes, and she said a couple choice words. And I said, how about going to light? And she said, he won't let you do that. And I'm thinking, I looked at Ted, and I says, gee, I says, look at the money we're going to get back from the funeral home, because she paid for her funeral. She's not going to use all that money now.
Oh, no.
That did it.
Oh, no.
She went to the light, swearing me up one side and down the other, but she did cross over.
That's hilarious.
Like I said, I'll be coming back and doing that one again.
Well, it does make you wonder, but that's great. Oh, man, I love that. That's a wonderful story. And, of course,
it's like when my mother died, she said she wasn't going either. And I looked at my sisters, and I said, oh, great, Mom said she's not going. And they said, well, if she doesn't want to. I said, yeah, it's going to bother because you guys can't see her.
Right.
And then she crossed over, too. So it was good. It was good.
Now, that's interesting, because I would think your mother, given the family tree she was from, would have really gotten it. In terms of understanding
how
this works.
Surprisingly enough, my grandmother that taught me all this, she never crossed over either.
Never?
Not to my knowledge. I've never dreamt of her.
Now,
that's how you can tell if somebody crosses over. If you have a dream of them, then they're where they're supposed to be, because an earthbound spirit never gets in a dream.
That's so weird. Yeah, I know. You told me that once, and sure enough, I dreamt about somebody shortly thereafter. I thought, yep, well, it's crossed over.
They look good. They're happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
But why on earth would somebody, you know, a grandmother who had been doing this all her life, see any value in staying here?
You know, I think she was she fought with herself back and forth. She loved America, but she really missed Italy. And I think, being that she had the opportunity and she wasn't sick anymore, and I think that she just really enjoyed, because that's where she was going to go. She was going to go back to Italy and see people and friends there. And I would think that eventually, because she's been dead for quite a while now, and I'm sure one of her paisans or goombas or somebody, they died, she probably crossed over with them, which is fine. But I've never dreamt of her. And to my knowledge, my sisters haven't either. I don't know. My girls have dreamt of their grandma, Ted's mother, but mm-hmm. they've never dreamt of my, they've dreamt of my mother also, but they've never dreamt of great-grandma. So I don't know.
That's fascinating because she clearly knows how to cross over. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Of course.
Right.
But she was so stubborn. And, Grandma, they say men and the mafia baloney, the women run it. And it was her way or no way. So. And that's fine. That's fine.
That's just, you know, of all the things you've ever told me, I think that might be the most mind-boggling, because you would really think that somebody with a perspective like that would really have it together about why they're here and when it's time to go.
You would think so.
Yeah, you would.
I'm not sticking around one little bit. The only thing that worries me, and a parting note here, is that somebody asked me at one of the last talks I gave. She stood up and she says, "You've sent a lot of people into the light." I says, "I've helped them cross over. I made the white light for them." And she goes, "And how many of these people did you sort of trick or?" And a couple of them, I thought back, relatives or not. And I said, there's probably some. Mm-hmm. She says, "So do you think these people are going to scream bloody murder at you when you walk in there?"
No, I think I think they're going to thank you, actually, because it's got to be so much better than what they were doing. Now, so your YouTube channel, of course, all you have to do is go to YouTube, Marianne Winkowski. You'll get there, or you can go to Raleigh.net, or you can go to MarianneWinkowski.com. And you actually do clearings, obviously, and so individuals can contact you through Marianne Winkowski to set that up, should they dare. And you've got other appearances coming up.
I do. And everything is on, nothing is out of Ohio for right now.
Okay.
But anytime there is anything that's from out of state, we pretty well advertise it a lot. So, but it's an interesting life.
Well, I'm sorry that the reality show didn't happen, because normally I don't like to watch any of that stuff, but I'd watch you every week. I guarantee that.
Well, they've given me a number of reasons why I can't. I don't have a cute hunk working with me. I'm a little out of age for their primary audience. It's interesting the way they give you these reasons why, and it's like, buddy, don't ever call me. If you've got a ghost, you can keep it.
Right, exactly. Oh, no, you might talk to the ghost. You could probably give the ghost some tips. No need to remove it. Well, as always, it's beyond a pleasure, and while I'm sorry some people didn't step up to brave enough to see what was in their house, I'm actually kind of delighted, because I just love talking to you, Marianne.
Well, it was a good evening. It really was. I'm glad we got a chance to finally do this, and, maybe next time they'll get brave and call. Who knows?
Yeah, well, like all these shows, a lot of people listen to it on the replay. And listen to the podcast or listen to the download. So all I can tell you is we're live. And I warned people for over a week that you were going to be on. So we're live on Fridays from what time is it? Because we have this weird daylight savings change. And at this time of year, we're live 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific. But in the meantime, they will not run out of entertainment if they'll just subscribe to the YouTube channel and check out MarianneWinkowski.com. And I'm going to hold you to doing it again.
You got it. We will do it again.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. Appreciate it.